Forget about the listening gods. If you got a listening God, if you can hold on to it till next week, praise God. Even though it says February 22nd on it, it's something that's been laid on my heart for about 3 weeks now, but I think the people aren't here that need to hear it, so I'm not going to do it. So I'll try to do it next week. I don't know what I'm going to do right now, praise God. Seth, thank you for coming here today. There's a lot of things on my mind. Just blessed watching the video of The Passion of the Christ. How many people seen the movie The Passion of the Christ? Never forget it the rest. I mean, the music still is inside of me when I hear those chords and that progression. It's just beautiful. And I remember the first time I saw it, shocked. I mean, we rented out the whole theater. I got to see it on a Monday with Christian Fellowship Church, and the movie wasn't out till Wednesday, but we got to see it, and I sat in the last row, and my wife wasn't with me, and just shocked. I mean, you could have heard a pin drop in that place. And I cry, believe me, I'll cry tonight if there's a new Hallmark movie on. I cry all the time. I mean, I'm a crier, but when I watched The Passion of the Christ, nothing came out. Just shocked, and walked out of the theater, got in the car, and drove home. Then I started bawling like crazy. Because I think, and I'm trying not to embarrass you, but I usually do, but I mean, going home, just bawling in the car, and for the first time, I felt what my wife went through losing 5 babies. That's when I felt. And I just bawled all the way home. I'll never forget it. And then I took the school kids to it. We had their moms sign a thing because it was an R-rated movie, you know. And I told the people at the school I was teaching Bible there, I said, I don't want anybody below 8th grade going to see this movie. And all the way over, we had 2 buses of teenagers. And I looked at them and saying, get ready. Get ready. And all I'm telling you is every whip that he took was for you. Everything you see him go through went for you. And man, when we went home on that bus, could have heard a pin drop, man. And I can remember these girls, because I love girls, they were sitting behind me just bawling, you know, through the movie. And I can remember the first time, because I saw the movie like 4 times, and I remember taking Kathy to see it, and Kathy's whispering in my ear during the movie, can't they make them stop? And I'm thinking, it's a movie. I mean, it's... but, oh boy. There's a couple that came here, James and Jennifer Sherrell. They were in 8th grade when I started in ministry, which was 1995, so I guess they're early 30s now. Gosh, I'm getting old. But he, last year, I married him 3 years ago. And then for some reason last year, he kept sending $1,000 to this church every quarter. And I thought, thank you, Lord. And they had come here in the beginning of the year, and Kathy was saying, hey, you know, our budget went down. You know, things are rough out there. And so every quarter, he would send $1,000. So I sent a card to him and a thank you card, and I think I had Charlo. Charlo, thank you. When you get a birthday card sent to you, it's from Charlo Mullen. Praise God. Thank you. People come up and thank me. She sends it, so thank her. But so we sent a card. So anyway, they showed up. So I sent them a card, and I said, hey, next time you come, Kathy and I want to take you out to lunch. So they came a couple weeks ago, and we took them to Bad to the Bone. That's pretty good, man. And he sat there, and he's kind of loud. I mean, the whole place must have heard him in there. He was telling them why he sent $1,000 every quarter. He said, last year in the beginning of the year, my job was horrible. My boss, his teammate on the thing he was at, they weren't getting along, And he said, Nick, I just stopped and said, Lord, help me. Help me at my job. And he was so sincere about it. And he said, I prayed to the Lord, help me in this job. And he said, the next week, things got better. He said, so I wanted to send your church $1,000. So then as the year went on, I kept asking the Lord to help me to do things, and I promised the Lord every time he would help me, I'd send $1,000. So he sent $5,000 here last year, and I was just thanking him and all, and we took him out to lunch, and sure enough, a week after we took him, he sent a check for $2,000 here. So I just wanted to say that thank you, Lord, for sending James and Jennifer Sorrell here. He's still given 10% to the church where he goes, which is Christian Fellowship Church. So I guess I'm just doing that as a testimony because I got convicted the last hour from listening to David Platt tell us about contentment and giving and people sharing in the Sunday school class. It's a beautiful thing. Before I get into the message, I want to do a commercial for this book, The Mingling of Souls by Matt Chandler, which I've gotten through the first 100 pages, and I don't know what to tell you. Teenagers, parents of teenagers, parents that have a young kid that's going to be a teenager one day, like Lainey, she'll be a teenager one day. You'll still get free blow pops, don't worry about it. But get this book and read it with your teenager. Read the first 3 chapters with your teenager. It will blow you away. It's something that I wish I knew when I was a teenager. He talks about relationships. He talks about the attraction. He talks about dating. He talks about courtship. He talks about wedding bells. He talks about when the two become one flesh. He talks about fighting fair. I love that chapter. Haven't gotten there. But really good. When we finish going through counterculture, we'll be doing this book. Read it, teenagers. It'll give you a different perspective on what you're hearing from the culture. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 1. If you take your Bibles out, we're going to go through that. Donna has it up on the screen. When Pete put "you make all things glorious" today, and I thought there was only going to be 10 people here, to be honest with you. Thank you for coming out today. But I'm going to tell you how he makes things glorious just by review of going through 1 Peter chapter 1. It's a great chapter. And I know I would say that about any chapter in the Bible because it is true, because it's the Word of God, because it was spoken through the prophets, through the writers, through the Holy Spirit to write down the things that God wanted us to know and to feed on. And when you come next week, Lord willing, there's no snow, and we get into chapter 2, I just want to do the first 3 verses next week because to me, it's a life-changing chapter, and there's people here, I'm going to be honest with you, that aren't here that need to hear what I'm going to say, so I'm going to do it next week. So I want to just go through 1 Peter chapter 1 together. Before I start, I already forgot to do something. Tim Ferringer, would you give us an update on your lovely wife, because we've been doing a lot of praying for her. She had surgery. Do you want me to bring you a mic, or go ahead?
Those of you don't know, she had a double mastectomy 3 weeks ago. Healing very nicely. She did reconstructive surgery at the same time. So she's dealing with pain, but it's less and less each day. She's doing exercise. Her movement back is working very well. She goes next week. Didn't make fully the point to get it, but then she gets her metaphor put in. She starts chemo in about 2 weeks. She starts to expand her.
Thank you so much, Tim. Praise God. She is a one strong lady. She loves the Lord. It's a powerful thing. So please keep her in a prayer. Please keep Ricky King in your prayers because he had a little accident with his knee. He fell over a video game in a parking lot or something. No, sorry, man. But he fell over a parking lot, and that had been heavy, Cindy. Had to have been heavy when he fell down like that. You know, from what I understand, you couldn't pick him up. You know, people had to come out and help. So please keep him in your prayer. You know, you might see him on crutches. Praise God. I keep thinking of video games. I'm sorry. But 1 Peter chapter 1, he makes all things glorious. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Anybody here want to be that person? Anybody here want to be an apostle, a disciple, a follower of Christ? That's how he starts out. He says, to those who reside as aliens, and really, as we see the world deteriorate, as we've seen it, we're the aliens now. You know what I mean? The people that know Christ, the people that acknowledge Christ as a Savior, we're the aliens. You know, we're less, you know, we just not like the world. But he says they're scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. If you pull out a map, a biblical map with those cities on it, you'll see how every word in the Bible is just so powerful. You can see the trip they took to those cities to bring this letter. I mean, it's not a haphazard thing. But then he says they're chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ, to be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours to the fullest measure. That's how He makes things glorious. That's when we take that step to realize. And you see the Trinity right there in those verses. You see the foreknowledge of God the Father, the sanctifying work of the Spirit, and to be obedient in Jesus Christ. We're sprinkled by His blood. That's why we took communion today, to realize it's His blood dripping down from His body when He was bruised for our transgressions. That was for us. So He starts this letter out to send to the Jews, to send to aliens scattered throughout all these cities. Because at this time, just like today, because it hasn't changed, Christians are going through persecutions like never before. And you can say that, and when you look through church history and you look at the early church, people were persecuted. People were beheaded back then. People were doing all kinds of things, throwing them out to the lions, letting lions eat them, lighting them on fire. So Peter wrote this letter, getting people to realize and to encourage them that He makes all things glorious. No matter what's going on in your life, He makes all things glorious. Just trust in Him. Live for Him. Get into His Word. Fellowship with other believers. He goes on in verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy. Because it's all about Him. It's His great mercy has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's nothing in the Bible about denominations. There's nothing in the Bible about Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholics. And we spend so much time thinking about denominations when all we have to do is focus on Christ, because He is the Blessed One. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again into a living hope that only happens when you acknowledge that resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then He goes on and makes it more glorious by saying, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, which is undefiled, which will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So we get this gloriousness because He has caused us to be born again. He has given us a living hope. He has given us to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for you. Then He goes on and tells us that we're protected by the power of God. you think about that protection. You think about your life and go through that, that he's going to protect you at your job, at your, in your schools, in your neighborhood. And we're protected by that power of God. But it's very important that we add our faith to that, because it says through faith, through faith, it's impossible to please him unless you're diligently seeking him with your faith. It's so important to have that faith. And they talk about faith being just like a mustard seed, something small, and it just grows and grows as you fellowship. It grows and grows as you get into the Word. It grows and grows as you spend time praying and seeking him in your life. So you're protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. And it's being revealed. It's being revealed from every corner of this earth. His salvation is being revealed. How? Through us. Through his Holy Spirit. Through us. Through the church. Through his Word. So as we gather and do that, and every day that should be on the forefront of your mind, God's Word. How can I grow closer to him today? How can I open this Word up? It's just unbelievable. The more you feed on his Word, the more you allow his Word to come into your life, the more peace you're going to have, even in the midst of trials. The week before Shirley was going to go and get her surgery, you know, many people were talking to her and praying with her. And I remember Kathy spending time talking to her, I'm spending time. I felt so much peace in Shirley's heart. I felt so much just filled with the things of God, knowing she was going to surgery, but at the same time realizing that she has obtained an inheritance that's not going to fade away. We're all going to leave this world one day, and we don't know when that is. But he tells you all these things. That you're going to be born again, that you're going to obtain an inheritance that's imperishable and undefiled. It's reserved for you. You're protected by God's power. Don't forget those things. As you live your life, feast on those things. Look at this first chapter of Peter, because there's so much encouragement in it. In verse 6, then he gives the reason when people come and ask you why God allows things to happen, maybe in your childhood or growing up, bad things, tough things that you have to get over, you know, miscarriages, whatever, things that you have to go through. And then he gives a statement, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. And it's hard to explain those trials. It's hard when someone comes up and says, why did my husband die, or my wife die, or my granddad, or why do these people die? Why do we have to go through this? Why are people getting beheaded overseas? Why do we see these things going on? And we're just supposed to keep rejoicing. We're supposed to just keep fellowshipping together and gathering together and rejoicing and knowing that God has allowed us to be born again, allowed us to be protected, allowed us to have salvation, allowed us to obtain an inheritance. But he says in verse 6, in this, oh, you greatly rejoice, even though for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. And then he gives the answer to that, the answer that man has been looking for since the beginning of time. Why do bad things happen? And you can go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and give him the answer. So that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why you go through trials. That's why those things happen to you in your life. So it may be result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, the scripture says, you believe in him. And you greatly rejoice. There's that rejoice word again. With a joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Let's see here. Deuteronomy 13. And you think about all the voices that are being, they're everywhere, you know, through movies, through the internet, through music, through things that it seems like sometimes I feel like the enemy has them in the palm of his hand. He's doing everything to get you away from fellowshipping with God, getting you away from coming to church, getting you away of being at Sunday school, getting you away of being a part of a community group. Because he calls us to gather together and get into the word together and pray for one another and do life together. But in verse 13 of Deuteronomy, it says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dream arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder. And I'm telling you something, you'll hear that all the time. You'll always hear signs and wonders and things. And it says, and the sign of wonder comes true. Concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, little g, whom you have not known, and let us serve them. That's the enemy's job. He wants to do everything he can to get you to serve someone or something else other than Christ. And he'll use names. He'll use names like Allah, saying that's God and it's not God. He'll use things like Buddha saying that's God and it's not God. And you have to understand that and realize that some things might happen that comes true. Because he says if a prophet or a dreamer or dream arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and that sign or wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying let us go after other gods whom you have not known and let us serve them. And then Moses wrote in verse 3, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to see, to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments and listen to his voice and serve him and cling to him. Right there tells us what we need to be doing as Christians. And we spend our whole lives fighting these things that we've gone through and these trials and these tough things. And we, for some reason, we can't let them go. We just can't let them go. And you've got to let them go. You've got to go forward and forget what is behind you and press on towards the goal to win the prize. Because God has called us to do that. So he says, you shall follow the Lord your God and fear him. But God, this happened to me. No, you shall follow the Lord and fear him. But you don't understand God. This happened to me in my childhood or in my teenage years. Or my wife left me or my husband left me. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him. And you shall keep his commandments and listen to his voice. And serve him and cling to him. And that's the promise from God's word on what he wants us to do. So as we go back to Peter and we look at these verses in here and how encouraging you are. And he says, and though you have not seen him in verse 8, you love him. So even though you might go through trials, if necessary, you got to keep loving it. You got to pursue having a relationship with him. And what is the result of that? Joy, inexpressible and full of glory. That's the way to live your life, man. Obtaining as your outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Now he goes on in verse 10, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of grace and would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. And I think that's what he's calling us today as Christians, to make careful searches of the Word, dig into the Word, inquire the Lord, ask Him, seek Him, allow Him to work through you. He says in verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. And these things which you have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look at. I got to be honest with you, man. I still can't put it into words being the lead pastor of this place. I don't understand it. All I know is every day I wake up, I want nothing else but to please Him. I want nothing else but to dig into His Word and grow closer to Him. And I thank the Lord how He has brought great teachers in this generation. Teachers that we have had the blessings of gathering together in groups and, you know, doing Matt Chandler studies and David Platt studies and David Jeremiah studies and Kyle Eidelman. There are such great preachers today and teachers and writers. Max Licato. Gosh, I just finished that book before. Amen. Great book. About just praying. It's Max Licato, he just knows how to simplify it. To say it's just a conversation between you and God. Take your time to build that. So we have this Word. And then he tells us what the prophets searched for and inquired about. And then in verse 13, he says, therefore. So if you have all these things, understand all these things of what it means to be born again. What it means to be protected by His power. What it means to obtain an inheritance. Then he goes, therefore, prepare your minds for action. We need action in this generation. Keep sober in the spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not conform to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. I was there. I had former lust in my ignorance. I grew up thinking, man, I'm going to be a good kid and do the right thing. And that's what it's not all about. It's about focusing on Him and then putting into action the things that He teaches you. He says, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy. Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Not in some of it, everywhere. Everywhere you go, be a representative of Him. Be an ambassador of Him. Be a child of Him. Be a follower of Him. Be holy because yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address as a father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth. So realize everything you do, you're going to stand before Him and give an account. Everything we do, everything we say, we're going to stand before Him. Live our lives in fear here, knowing who He is, and we should be in awe of Him. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and in hope are in God. Ben, can you come forward? Please, thank you. Verse 22, since you have in obedience to the truth, purify your souls. And that's a lifelong thing. Sanctification is a lifelong thing that happens for you. For a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For if you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living an enduring Word of God. spend some time in this first chapter later today when the ice is coming down, and just spend time in His Word, man. Allow the Holy Spirit to take the Word and make it come to life to you. You know, a couple weeks back, a lady sitting in this sanctuary made the statement, "I've been lukewarm." That's the first step to examining your heart and realizing where you are and then taking action with it and doing the things you need to do that you know God wants you to do to get closer to Him. Because He has a work for us to do. We got to keep moving forward and making a difference for Him. Father, I thank You for Your Word today, Lord. Father, use Your Spirit to indwell our hearts and magnify Your Word inside of us, Father. Ushers, if you could come forward. Father, I pray that as we take our offering today, Father, that we realize what it means to give, what it means to sacrifice. Thank You for bringing the Shirelles to this church, Lord. Thank You for their willingness to give sacrificially. Father, help us to learn what that means, Father. Father, thank You for that video this morning, which is still churning in my heart, Lord. Thank You for all You do, Father, and ask You to bless this offering, Father, and I give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. During the video today, he talked about giving to missions and stuff and how the average church in America gives about 2 cents out of every dollar for missions. I've been convicted about that. Right now, I'm going to be honest with you. This church gives 7 cents out of every dollar to missions. Not great. You know, I talked to the elders about it last month. We're moving forward. We're hoping to get back up to the 10% mark because I think we should be giving 10% to missions. So just please keep praying for our offerings because we want to be at that point. I mean, I came from a church that had a $2 million budget that gave $200,000 a year to missions. That's the way to give the missions. That's powerful. And I saw the Lord bless that church. And I feel like as we keep growing, as we keep seeking Him and seeking His will and getting serious about getting into the Word and being a part of Bible study, He's going to bless this place. And this place will grow, and therefore our giving will grow, and therefore we can give more to missions to make a difference in this world for Him. Because there's a world crying out there for needs. So the band's going to play. If anybody needs prayer for anything, I would want nothing more would honor me but to put my hand on your shoulder and pray for you for anything. So if we could stand and just spend a few minutes in worship. Thank You, Lord, for today. Thank You.